and you know he's defeated, and you try to demonstrate that defeat and you don't feel so happy. This morning I had to go lay hands on a dead child and thought we were going to raise him from the dead, and it didn't happen. Those things kind of rock your faith, but it's all right. So what we do now, we don't mope and groan and complain and get mad at ourselves. No, we just simply go back to the closet and say, Father, okay, what's lacking in me? Amen. That's what this relationship is all about. It's not about me being perfect or being all this and all that. It's about growing in him. Amen. That's what it's about. So that's why we come. We come to provoke you to love. We come to provoke you to do good works out of that love. That's what being born again is all about. You didn't get born again to get your ticket punched to go to heaven. You got born again so that you could show forth the glory of God in the earth. Amen. That's what your job is. Amen. This is why you're going to be put in some pretty tough situations. See, God didn't say he's going to get you born again and we're going to head off to heaven, did he? Now, he says things like, praise be unto God who always calls us up to what?
Trial.
Doesn't sound like we're going to have an easy road, does it? Things are going to happen. Children are going to die. We're going to do all we can to bind the strong man and bring healing. We're going to do all we can to raise the dead. We're going to do all those things. But when we can't, what are we going to do? We're going to keep seeking him because he's righteous. His right standing is without blemish. His right standing is sovereign. There's nothing wrong with him. It's us. Praise the Lord. So we're going to continue our study in the born again trail. And if you know anything about being born again, one of the things that Jesus said that we would what? Lay hands on the sick and the sick would recover. We'd pray in new tongues, and what else would we do? Cast out devils, and what else would we do? Raise the dead. And if we're not trying to do all those, and I've been praying, I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know when, because I keep saying, we're going to raise the dead. We're going to raise the dead. See, you think I'm saying that just to make you feel whatever, but we're going to raise the dead. We are going to raise the dead. And when you're confronted with that, you're going, oh boy, here we go. Here we go. And here's how the Lord kind of walked me in that. See, I went to the hospital yesterday morning to go pray for the child. When I got there, the parents told me, oh, no, he died last night. Okay. So we tried to get into the morgue at the hospital, but we couldn't get into the morgue. So we had to wait until the child got delivered to the funeral home. And then the funeral director was gracious enough to let us go in and pray for the child. But, you know, you do all you can. You believe, you squeeze every ounce of faith that's in you. You do everything you can to command and demand, but we didn't have any results. So I don't say that in a sorrowful way. It's kind of, I mean, I'm still thinking about it. I mean, here it is. I'm holding a dead child, and I'm thinking, come on, life. Come. Life, come. And when nothing happens, it's, of course, you know, you got the funeral director looking there going, I can tell what he's probably saying. Another one of these nuts. Here we go again. But you know what? You just got to get past all that. If you have your Bibles, go over to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to keep talking about the born again trail. The reason I opened up with that testimony is because that this is what we do. This is what it's all about. If you're going to be born again, this is what you have to be equipped to do. Ephesians, and you, everybody say me.
Me.
Hath he quickened. Now, what does word quickened mean? He's brought you from death to life. Now, there's been discussion, I understand, and I had some this morning, about the analogy we went through last week about big S and little S. How many are still a little confused about big S and little S? It's okay. All right. Well, we're going to try to work it out here going along. But again, the big S is the Holy Ghost. Little S is you. Now, here he says, you have he quickened. When you see the word quickened, that means he took a dead spirit. What's a dead spirit? One that was separated from God. And he brought that spirit from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now, Jesus was resurrected, but in my opinion, more importantly, he was what? He was quickened. Now, the question is, does it matter if the Holy Spirit and the term Spirit, if it's used interchangeably? In my opinion, yes, it does. Why? Because eventually your doctrine is not going to come out right. Why? When you go to heaven, does the Holy Spirit go with you to heaven? No, he doesn't. When the time comes and we're snatched out of here and raptured out of this place, the Holy Spirit will not still be with us. So you have to distinct that there are two distinct things happening. Now, the discussion this morning was, well, what happened first? Well, I don't know if the chicken or the egg. Of course, I know what happened first. It was the chicken. God created all the animals and then came the egg. But it doesn't matter whether the Holy Spirit came in you first and gave you a new nature or whether it happened simultaneously. But he had to take out your old nature and then put in God's nature. Now, did he go in there first or did he go in there that was the new nature put in there before he got there? I don't know. I don't think it makes any difference. The point I'm making is somewhere he gave you a new nature. He took out your fallen nature. He is in that new nature. He is in there to help you. But most Christians have the Holy Ghost, but do nothing with him. He lays dormant for many, many years. But your new nature, your spirit, the spirit of Christ that raised him from the dead, if that spirit be in you, then you're born again. It is not Christ's spirit. It is your born again spirit. It is separate from the Holy Ghost. Now, people say, well, aren't you just splitting hairs? Not really. Because some verses I'm going to read tonight, you're going to see, you're glad that there is a distinct difference in the new nature, the spirit that's been born again, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? Any questions so far? All right, let's go on here. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now let me ask you this. When you were born into the world, what spirit did you have? You had the spirit of Adam. So when you got born again, God, the Holy Ghost, took out the spirit of Adam. Now, did you have Adam's spirit? No. Adam has his spirit. He's somewhere in heaven, I hope. But Adam has his spirit. Adam's spirit is not your spirit, but you have the nature or the spirit of Adam in you. Remember, first Adam, last Adam. Amen. So let's get back. I don't know why I made that side pig trail there, but I'll start all over again. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What spirit is that?
That's the fallen nature.
That is the spirit of the enemy. That is your fallen nature. Now, you don't have that spirit anymore. If you're born again, you do not have that spirit anymore. You cannot have two spirits at one time. You cannot be bio-spirit. You got one or the other. Yes, ma'am. Well, you may have been a good person. You may have been a good person. You may have done some good things. No question about it. He could have had you do anything he wanted to. You could have been a Hitler. I'm not saying you would have been, but you had the capacity to be a Hitler. Are you hearing me? This is why we want to take our children and not allow the world to get them at a young age and get them out there in the world. Because why? The enemy tries to play up that fallen nature. That's why there are gangs and things like that going on, because it's a strange, it's a spirit of not of God. It's a spirit of a fallen nature. Let's go on here. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, you were born into the world this way. Those little babies right over there, they're cute and precious, aren't they? They're just so precious. My buds over there. But you know, one day, their grandmama or their mother or their father or grandpa or somebody or their pastor has got to set them down and said, listen, you're at the age of accountability. Well, I've got to talk to you about being born again. If not, there is no limit at the what they could do in an evil sense. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be bad citizens. I'm just simply saying they will have the capacity. Although they look just as cute and loving over there right now. Amen? Didn't mean to pick on your grandkids, but they're good grandkids. Yes, ma'am.
When I'm born again and carrying Jesus' spirit, why I have to have Adam's spirit?
No, you don't now. You have the spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
I have nothing to do with Adam anymore.
No.
Okay.
Did I mention that?
No.
I want to make sure I'm clear about it. You do not have Adam's spirit. You have the nature of Adam, but now you have the nature of Christ. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Say it again. Well, there's no usual age, 8, 7, 8. I think I was 7 or 8 when my mother set me down. It's when you know right and wrong, when that child knows right and wrong. Now, she said, I think she mentioned they're already born again, right? So they already know. How old is...
Violet's 6 and she's 11.
Okay, so Violet's 6, she just know. I mean, you have some children that are just more advanced. Mm-hmm. They know right from wrong.
If they're praying in the spirit too.
Well, amen. Now, the thing is that if you make them say that prayer and not voluntarily say that prayer, that's something different. See, if I called a drunk out here and said, hey, I'll give you $100 if you say this prayer. And so he says the prayer. Is he born again?
No.
See, it's not the words that get you born again. It's the intent of your heart. See, we got to get out of this. I mean, a lot of people ask me, well, pastor, once saved, always saved? Well, let's first make sure you were first saved. Because when I got born again, I didn't want out the deal. Even when I was out in the world being born again, I knew there's something different about me. I just knew that. Because I would never speak against God in anything God was doing. Yes, sir. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought you had a question.
It was good, like you were saying, like, we have Adam nature and Jesus nature, but it's Adam nature with Christ's spirit.
Exactly. The spirit of Christ. Not Christ's spirit, but the spirit of Christ. I'm not saying you got Christ's spirit. You have the spirit of Christ. In other words, that spirit of Christ is the spirit that quickened you from the dead. Okay? It just simply means you were born again. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. That's all it means. You've been born again. Born from above. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, alienated, estranged from God, all that fits in there, in our sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, not resurrected us, but made us alive in our spirits together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now I'm headed someplace here, so follow with me. And hath raised us up together and has raised us up together. Now, many people say, well, that's positional truth. Well, it is positional truth. But here's what it means. I have authority. When I walk into a morgue, life should come back in that body in Jesus' name. That's what I expect. Now, my testimony this afternoon is that that didn't happen. But I don't judge the word by my testimony. I judge the word by who God is. So something was wrong in me where that child didn't get up. That's what it means to be seated in heavenly places. When I speak, the devil's supposed to bow his knee. When you speak, The devil posed to bow his knee. Why? You have authority. You've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above. That is not just some good words to say. That's who you are. That's where you are. You have dominion. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness and give them dominion. He gave you dominion. He never took that back. He never went, why did I do that? He never took it back. When man was restored in being born again, God is saying, I am not done with you. You still have that same authority and dominion. And that's what he's saying here. Has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Position of truth, yes. But what that means is where Christ is, he rules, he reigns. We've taught this message several weeks ago about the ecclesia. You are the ruling, reigning, governing body on the earth for God. Amen. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Amen. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Amen. That is your seat of authority. That's what he's saying here. Jesus gave you that authority. Why? He seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what that means. You have authority.
Yes.
Now, the thing is this. Let's say you become a police officer. And they slap a badge on you and a gun on you, give you a baton and give you a car. And so now you go out there and you patrol this part of the neighborhood. So you're out there driving around. You see some suspicious kids and it looks like they're breaking into a house. And you hop on your radio and you go, Chief, this is da-da-da-da. I think I see some kids breaking into a house. What should I do? Are you a police officer? You are only one in name, but you're not one in duty. Because if you got to call the chief of police and ask him what you should do, he's going to take your badge. He's going to take your badge. Why? Because you're not operating in the authority that's behind you. Now bring that back to the church and you get the point. We're not operating in authority. The devil is robbing our children, robbing our families, robbing our finances. And I'm not saying that Christianity is all about money and all about blessings. I'm not saying it at all. But there's a thief out there that you've been given authority over. Take your stand.
Amen.
Take your stand.
Amen.
But you got to understand what your authority is. You got to spend time with God. You got to spend time communicating with God. You got to allow God the Holy Ghost to begin to reveal to you that authority.
Mm-hmm.
I can read it to it. I can read this to you and tell you what you have, but you got to spend time with him to find out what it is. You see, the captain may have told that police officer, now here's your authority in this manual. But until he spent time in training, what they call that academy, until he spent time in the academy where he was taught and trained, and being taught is not the same as being trained. Being taught is just, here's what we do. Trained is, there's somebody went out there riding around with that old boy for a couple of months and said, this is how we do what you just learned in the academy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And many in the body of Christ, this is why we go to the prisons, so you can be trained on how to exercise your authority. You'd be surprised how much you'll learn. Walk up to a sick person saying, sickness and disease, you go. You'll be surprised.
Amen.
You're developing your authority. You're developing your dominion that God has given you. You are allowing that to be developed, and you're becoming very familiar with it. And most importantly, you're becoming established in it.
Amen.
So there are certain things I've become established in. It don't rain on Thursdays over Dominion Training Center. Come on now, don't shout me down when I'm preaching real good. I have established myself in that. Now, one day it may rain. I can see all y'all come and say, Pastor Craig, it rained today. So where was your confession of faith? You ought to walk in and say, Pastor, man, we did something wrong, man. We got to get on top of this. That should be our attitude. Not, I don't know why it happened that way. What happened? You're not walking with authority. You're wondering if this is going to fail. You're on the wrong side. You have not been communicating and hanging out with the Holy Spirit and allowing him to spend time with you and teach you about this authority.
Amen.
Like I said, one day, if Robert and I lived side by side, He wants rain. I don't want rain. Well, bless God, he's going to rain on his house and not rain on my property. That's the kind of faith I got. Now, you laugh, but that's the kind of faith I have. Okay? But now, here's how we get silly. We pray for the Texans. We hope they win. We praying for the Rockets. Now, folks, come on. Come on. I mean, you know, I get it. I get it. I understand where you're coming from. But do you think God really gives a rip about the Rockets winning the championship? I mean, maybe he does. God, maybe you're a Rockets fan. Forgive me if I step on your toes. And I get off perception and I'll move on. I'll leave it alone. But in my opinion, I don't think it's, we're talking about stuff that's, verse 7. That in the ages to come, he may show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ in the ages to come. Listen, you think God is showing you some stuff now? When you get to heaven, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to have people, another race of people, they're going to come to you and say, excuse me, were you one of them born again people living on the earth back when that what they call that guy, the devil? Yeah, that fast-talking black preacher called me El Diablo. Well, were you on the earth back then? Yes, I was. Tell me about that. Who was this guy? How did he get loose? What did he do? How did y'all contain him? Now, many are going to say, well, you know, we just kind of let him run free. We didn't do very much to stop him. We kicked dust every now and then. But then that guy over there, this guy right here, man, now he got out there and he got the devil's face, told him to back off. But me, I just kicked some dust at him, man, because I didn't want to make him mad. Now, I'm being funny, but you get the point, don't you? You see yourself in that, don't you? That's what's so funny. You see yourself in that. Well, I see myself, too, in that. I've taken a back seat in some of these things, you know? You know, when they told me that baby was dead, I went, oh, Lord, where's Robert? Where's my wife? Where's everybody? I'm here by myself. I said, okay, we're going through this. We're going through this. Let's go on. Now, here's where I want to land. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, here's what I want you to notice here. For by grace you have been saved through faith. What is the subject here? Is the subject grace? Is the subject your salvation? Or is the subject faith? The subject is salvation. By grace you have been saved through faith. So if you've been saved, how were you saved? You were saved through faith. God gave you faith. But what did it take besides faith? When you opened up your mouth, go over to Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, 8, I think it is. Romans 10, 8. Here's what you did. Make it 8 and 9, excuse me. Here's what you did. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word which we preach. Verse 9, please. If thou confess with thy mouth, your mouth. How many have seen this verse before? Both hands. That's my man back there. Yes, sir. Both hands ought to go up. If thou shalt confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you see salvation? Do you see grace? And do you see faith in that? You better see it. You better see it. Otherwise, I'm questioning your salvation. You better see it. Where is the faith? Preach it. Press confessing with your mouth. That's the faith. You release the faith of God through your words. You release the authority of God through your words. I have dominion through my words. Now, I can't back it all up. If I say life come into this body, in a few minutes, we're going to pray for the sick. And tonight, you're going to pray for the sick. But the thing is this, when we pray for the sick, are we really healing the sick? No, we're just executing the command. And who heals the sick? The Holy Spirit does all of that. But what we'll do is that we'll make a confession, right?
Yes.
That's faith. Okay? Now, so we confess it based upon what? Based upon God's word. There is God's word. Now, what else has to happen to make it work? We got to believe. That's the faith. But what else has to be an ingredient? Huh? Well, we confessed. We got faith. Go. Can you go back to the previous scripture, please? Not the previous scripture. Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Keep, huh? Ephesians 2. Well, you know better. Well, okay, well, correct me. That's good. I'm glad you're on. I'm just testing you out. See if you hear or not. I'm glad to see that you're paying attention tonight. Amen. Next time I'll say Corinthians, you can correct me again. So what verse was it? Galatians what? Can somebody read that, please? Yes, read that, please. So in Romans chapter 10, 8, 9, what was missing? What did we not say? We have the confession. Grace. When you open up your mouth, this is what I want to get across to you. When you open up your mouth and you speak in accordance with God's word, that is your authority. But something has to give you power to make all that come to pass. That's the grace of God. Every time you open up your mouth and you agree with God and you believe in your heart that those things are right, God begins to release great grace. It's already here. But the grace of God gets involved with that and makes it come to pass. It's the grace of God. It's God's grace. Every time, now listen, every time you open your mouth and you agree with God, you are releasing faith, you are professing faith, and grace is coming on the scene. Are you with me? Okay, I'm glad you hear that. Now go over to Colossians chapter 3. Now keep that in mind. As I begin to speak along with God's word, grace comes on the scene. It's actually already here, but I want to make sure you understand grace is on the scene. It's being released on your behalf. The Bible says in the book of Acts that great grace was upon them. Do you remember what Jesus told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 when he says, there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. And I prayed 3 times, God, get this thing off my back. Why? Because Paul knew, I release faith. I'm a righteous man. I'm speaking in line with God's word. Where is the grace to get this thing off me? Well, here was Paul's problem. What God has already allowed, God is not going to change. And God had already told Paul, listen, you go over and talk to so-and-so, and he's going to show you things that you must suffer in my name. And the things that Paul was suffering, God told him, you're going to suffer these things because of the abundance of the revelation that's going to be given to you. But Paul wanted to kind of take a shortcut. But look how God answered him. He says, I've answered him. He said, I spoke to him 3 times. And Jesus, the last time Jesus comes on the scene and speaks in red, maybe in the revelation he does, but the last time in the epistle, Jesus said these words, my grace is sufficient for you. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He didn't go. Now, he didn't say this. It don't seem to be working, Jesus. I don't get it, Jesus. Where's my new Cadillac? You know, I've been believing you for at least a $500,000 house that you ain't gave to me yet. What's going on, Jesus? Come on. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
Why is it therefore? Because of what Jesus just said. Therefore, will I
glory in my tribulations. Now get this. The man was going to start giving God praise. Uh-oh. I'm confessing something when I give God praise. I'm confessing something. I said, I'm confessing something. I'm lining up with God. I believe in my heart, right? I'm giving him praise. Now watch what Paul said. He says, therefore will I glory him in my tribulations, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen.
Boy, you should be not running around the room. I can't believe you're still sitting down. When you find yourself in a pickle, if you will, and you don't know what to do, just throw up your hands and say, God, all I know is this. I just give you praise. I worship you and glorify you because your grace is available to me. And it's more than sufficient for me. Now go over to Colossians chapter 3. I think it's Colossians chapter 3. And I'm not going to spend long in here. I'm going to start at verse 1. Colossians 3. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. If ye then be risen with Christ, what does that mean? That means I died with him, right? So how many of you have been risen with Christ?
Yeah.
Everybody's hands ought to go up. Seek those things which where? Are above. Which where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, we read earlier, who else sits on the right hand of God? Say it again.
Jesus.
Say it like you mean it, though.
Because
why? You've been seated in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Position of authority. Now, don't get the idea your feet are dangling from God's throne chair. Don't get that idea. But you're seated there in authority. You're the firstborn. You're in the family of the firstborn. Jesus said these words to his disciples. He said, let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I go and prepare a place for you, and where I am, you may be with me also. Everybody thinks, that's my mansion. He ain't talking about mansions. He's talking about your place.
In heaven.
No, he's talking about your place in the family of the firstborn. You have all the rights and privileges of the firstborn. You know why? Because you've been made righteous. You have the same righteousness that Christ has. Everything Christ can do, I can do. He said, greater work. Greater works that I would do. Greater works. If he can raise the dead, I can raise them. Now, I don't know how many people he raised from the dead in 3 years, but whatever it was, I got to catch up because he got me beat because I didn't get the first one raised yet. And I ain't happy. I may be laughing about it, but I ain't happy about it. I'm really kind of, I can't get mad at myself. I can't get mad at God. I can't get mad at the child. I can't get, you know what I'm getting mad at? The devil. I'm mad. I don't like that. I don't like when I go to the hospital and the cancer patient doesn't get healed. I don't like that. Why? Because my righteousness is in me. His righteousness is in me. And they're supposed to respond to when I speak. Not because of that I drive a white truck and live in a certain neighborhood and work at, that's not because, no, because I am righteous in him. All that tells me is there's something wrong with me understanding what he's done for me. Did the pastor really say that? Absolutely. Because I want you to follow me. And when these things don't work out right, we're not going to cry and moan and groan and get upset. We're going to do what? Go right back to the prayer closet. And we're going to get in there and commune with him and find out why this thing didn't work.
That's right.
Folks, it's all about fellowship. what the Apostle Paul learned in 2 Corinthians 12 is the fact that he has to continually fellowship with God. When the Apostle Paul was saying, all this stuff has happened to me, and I don't know why. God, you called me to be an apostle. What's going on? Who was he thinking about, God or himself? He's thinking about himself. Now, can I hit you up between the eyes before I close? You do. You don't know what they said to me. They talked about me. They called me the N-word. Oh, I'm getting your grill. That's right. They called me the N-word. I don't appreciate that. Who are you thinking about, God or yourself? Come on, folks. We got a ways to go, don't we? We got a whole lot of renewing of the mind to do, don't we? We think about ourselves more than we think about God. This just ain't fair. Do you really want fair? Fair is God, Jesus never said went to the cross for you. Yo, rear end should be in hell. If you want fair, he didn't sin, you did. You're the one who had the fallen nature, he didn't. I could just see him at the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, they ain't never going to serve you. I got these 12 here. These knuckleheads don't give a rip. They're going to leave me. That's one of them has sold me down the river for 30 pieces of silver. Father, you see all that's going on, and you still want me to go to the cross? See, you laugh because you can't see Jesus saying that, can you? But that had been you, that's what you would have said. You know what you would have said? I got rights. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got born again, you gave up your rights. You are righteous, but you don't have any rights. You know where your rights come from? Nah, you better buckle your seatbelt because it's going to hurt. Your rights come from your fall, from your unrenewed mind, from your fallen nature. That's where you got those rights. And you brought that mess into the kingdom of God, and you said, God, I got rights. And God's going, who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? He ain't talking to me. I may be his Lord, but he ain't talking to me. Listen, folks. You got to get a vision of what the kingdom of God is all about. Amen. I'm going to close with this. I promise you I am. Here we go. I'm going to leave you on a bad note. Jesus, I can't believe they talked about me so bad. What would he tell you? Daughter, you don't know how bad they talked about me. And they still talking bad about me. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of these things that you are thinking now you brought from with you, it's your flesh. And your flesh is talking you out of the benefits. This is why when we go to the prisons or we go to a hospital and cancers won't leave. Because we still have an old mentality of thinking. We've got to change this thing. Now, let me in close show you how to help your mentality. Change your mentality. I've given it to you several times. I'm going to try one more time. Hopefully it sticks this time. You got to start communion with God. And when you see this stuff coming up in your life, you got to begin to say, Father, that's not who I am. That's something that came over from my old flesh. That's something that came, that's my unrenewed mind. And I don't want that anymore. I've been made so much better than that. You have perfected me. And I give you praise and glory and honor that you have filled me with love, with joy, with peace, with long-suffering, with goodness and meekness and self-control. These things belong to me, and I give you praise. I give you glory that you I am. Every time the devil tries to make you feel sorry for yourself, I want to have a pity party. I can tell you, God didn't buy a ticket. He ain't coming to your pity party. Amen. He ain't buying a ticket for your pity party. Yes. Instead, he just goes, I don't know who they're talking to, but it ain't me. Wow. Wow, God. Wow. I know I'm slapping you upside your head tonight, but it's all good. You're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. Why? Because you're going to begin to learn that's what's holding me back. See, you know why Dominion Training Center was formed? We don't want to be a church. Not in the sense of traditional church. No. I'm not going to teach traditional messages. I'm going to teach you things that will shake you to your core and will get you prepared to meet Jesus anytime that you want to go home. Many people in the church don't realize if they were to go to meet Jesus, they are not ready. You know why I know they're not ready? Many of you have not learned to walk in the God kind of love yet. And I'm still learning. Now, I'm not at the starting line. I'm not trying to boast here, but at least I'm on the starting line. There are many that ain't even got to the block, got in the stadium to get their cleats on, to get on the track. They think I can treat people however I want to, and God is okay with that. He's not okay with that. He's not okay. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect in this. I'm not saying you're going to always treat people the way Jesus did. But what I'm saying is you can treat them more and more and more and more like Jesus. That's what I'm saying. This is where we got to get to, folks. This is where we're headed. We've got to walk in the God kind of love. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't hear it being preached enough at all. This is why we're having an immersion rally on crazy love. A God that loves you enough to send his son who did not sin to the cross to die for your sins. That's crazy love, baby. That's crazy love. That's over the top. That's off the chain kind of love. Because I can ask every one of you, your grandkids, your kids, you ain't giving up your kids for me. I can guarantee you that. If God came to you and said, would you give me your firstborn for Elvin? What would you say? You better go ask the next person because the answer is no here in this house. That's crazy love. And the church has got to learn to walk in this kind of love. And it's not going to make you feel comfortable because I want to show you, you brought so many things from the world over to the Christendom and you think that stuff flies over here. It doesn't. And here at Dominion Training Center, we're quick to point it out to you. And like I always, Robert hates when I say this, if this place gets cleaned out, I'll preach to the light bulbs, I guess. I don't know. Don't make me look a difference, but I ain't changing the message. The message is for this hour. This is what the church needs. I don't think I got the corner market on. There are other guys teaching the same message, even better than me. But he said, I don't care how good you are. I just want you to go out there and teach it. Okay, fine with me, man. All right, I'm not a good speaker. I didn't ask you to be a good speaker. Well, I don't look all like, I didn't ask you for any of that. I just asked you, are you willing to go? Okay, count me in, Dad. Okay, let's get started. Already? Can you give me about 2 or 3 years? Well, I waited about 2 or 3 years. Finally, he said, listen, you done had your 2 or 3 years. It's time to go. But my point is this. Dominion Training is here. Center is here for this reason. We're going to teach you the unadulterated word of God.
Amen.
We're not going to candy coat it. We're going to tell it like it is.